Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Good morning, everyone, and how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Tom Ernesty, on this Friday, December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day. Not a great day, obviously, but it is Pearl Harbor Day. We're coming to you live from the DolphinsTalk.com studio. We have some interesting news and tidbits to talk about today as the Miami Dolphins are gearing up for a weekend game against the New England Patriots. We're going to get into some of the injury news here later in the show, but I want to first start off with a little bit of great news. The news that came out yesterday with the Miami Dolphins Walter Payton Man of the Year honors for the second straight year. The nominee for the team is Kenny Stills, which is to no one's surprise. Kenny Stills, for as much as people like to focus on the fact of his kneeling and, you know, his fight for social injustice, Kenny Stills is constantly in the communities, whether it's in South Florida or elsewhere, working with inner city youth, underprivileged kids and families and so on and so forth. All the things he does for the community, he is now getting recognized again for the second straight year for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. You know, the big thing with Kenny Stills is that he is doing something. You know, everyone can talk about the kneeling and, you know, the guy that kneels really doesn't do anything. This guy on, you know, Tuesday morning, he doesn't take a day off. He doesn't. He goes off and he does countless community service projects every Tuesday. This is what the guy does. So instead of, you know, recovering his body and getting ready for next week's game prior to going to the facility or even after he leaves the facility, he is going to do something. And, you know, we commend Kenny Stills for his countless efforts for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, and hopefully this year he will get it. Now, there's two Miami Dolphins in the past to win this honor. Overall was Dwight Stevenson, Dan Marino, and Jason Taylor. All three of those guys have won the award. And Kenny Stills said it is important to be recognized, but he also doesn't do it for the award. He's just really focused on making sure that he uses his time here on Earth, however long it is, to do something good and impactful and leave a positive legacy. And Stills, you know, loves working with kids. And, you know, a lot of people know that he is a football star, but people probably don't care. They just know he cares, and that's really all that matters. So, Kenny Stills, kudos to you, sir. Congratulations on the honor. And also, former Miami Dolphin Michael Thomas, who still actively is on Twitter talking to Dolphins fans and things like that. He is not a forgotten man. He is also up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award with the New York Giants. He is their nominee. Congratulations to Michael Thomas as well. A little bit of news outside of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. There was an article that was posted yesterday, and I kind of want to dive into it a little bit. It has to do with Matt Burke. The article was done by Adam Beasley. And the article essentially, I just have to laugh about it. So the Dolphins are 29th in defense. We know this. And they go against the New England Patriots on Sunday, who has a top 10 offense and one of the greatest players to ever play the game in Tom Brady. Burke believes he has done a good job. A good job. I believe good job would mean that he has done something impactful with this team. Not individual talents, not individual things that can happen. I'm talking about a team effort. And Matt Burke believes 29th ranked defense is a good job. Well, I'm here to say, and I'm on record going that I will be saying this, 29th sucks. And it is not good. And the fact that he believes that he still has done a good job is mesmerizing. So the Patriots rung up 38 points and almost 450 yards of offense the first time they played. One of four games this year in which the Dolphins have allowed 30 or more points, and one of seven in which they surrendered 400-plus yards. And as a result, the Dolphins are near the bottom of the NFL in most every non-turnover-related defensive category. Yards per play, 30th. Rush defense, 30th. Yards per carry, 27th. Yards per pass, 30th. Sacks per pass play, 29th. First downs allowed, 25th. Third down efficiency, 25th. The Dolphins have given up 258 points. That's 11th most in the NFL. Burke has been an easy target for fans and media, and I am first one to put my hand up and say I have been one of his biggest detractors. But he goes on to say, this is Matt Burke, goes on to say, I feel like I've done a good job. I try every week to put our players in the best position to make plays. I've done that sometimes. We haven't some other times. There are calls I regret. There are calls I'm excited about. We are week to week. It's hard for me to big picture evaluate myself in the course of the season. I'm trying to win a ball game this week. The feedback I'm worried about is from Gase, what he cares about and what he wants. I try to give him what he's looking for as a coach. That's really all I concern myself with. Well, at the end of the day, you know, we've had this conversation before on the podcast. Mike has gone in depth about this. Is at the end of the year, when you go into Adam Gase's office, for that matter, even Stephen Ross's office, and sit there and say, I've done a good job. We were 29th in this category, 29th in this category. We are 11th worst in the NFL in total points allowed. And we're at the bottom. We're no better than 25th in every non-turnover related category. I believe I still need to keep my job. The answer is no. This is two straight years with him as defensive coordinator, and his side of the ball has not been great in either season. And if Gase is inclined to make a change, it almost certainly won't be until end of the season. I highly disagreed that should be the scenario, but that's what we're going to be dealing with. Matt Burke is going to be here throughout the rest of the season, and that's that. But Adam Gase needs to understand, if your offense stinks and your defense stinks and you're still employed as the head coach / offensive coordinator, you need to do something on the other side of the ball. Clear as day, that has to happen. It's maddening that, you know, he comes out and says he does a good job. If I do a good job at my job, I like to go in there with some proof. But there's no proof for Matt Burke to go into Adam Gase's office and says, we're doing a great job. No, you're not. You can't stop anybody. Josh Allen hung 400 yards almost by himself of offense. Himself. He ran for 135 yards. I think he led the NFL last week in rushing. But that's a good job because we won. That doesn't matter. Winning is winning. You got lucky. Charles Clay dropped the football in the end zone, wide open. Every week, the game plan that Matt Burke employs does not put the players in the best position to win football games. He is outsmarted every single week by the opposing team's offensive coordinator. That's just the way it is. Unless you're the New York Jets, you're not outsmarted by the Jets. Nobody is. But every other week, completely manhandled. So Matt Burke, who believes he's done a good job, I would like to highly disagree with that. I believe he's done a poor job scheming, developing linebackers like a Raekwon McMillan, constantly out of position, Rashad Jones, constantly getting beat on pass plays, Kiko Alonso, and your pass rushers, the most money on the team, on the defensive line, can't get a sack. Cannot. your defensive ends have 9 sacks this year. The rest of those sacks are coming from corners and linebackers and or safeties. That's not good. So the scheme's not working. The wide nine needs to go bye-bye. Matt Burke has to go bye-bye. They need new blood. They need a new scheme. They need everything to change on that side of the ball. The Dolphins were predicated on defense for a long time, from the mid-90s to about the mid-2000s. The Miami Dolphins were a defense to always be reckoned with. Not anymore. So I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, we're going to talk about the injuries leading up to Friday's practice and talking about what to expect going into the weekend and who can we see play and who is not going to play. I'll be right back after these words from our sponsor, Sinbad Sports.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get authentic Miami Dolphins signed memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has had the likes of Albert Wilson, Kiko Alonso, Frank Gore, Jakeem Grant, Rashad Jones, Ricky Williams, and Cam Wake in for recent autograph signings. So when you're in South Florida, go ahead and visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com sent you.
We are back. First things before I get into the injury report leading up to Friday's practice, what we saw on Thursday, I'd like to quickly mention Sinbad Sports, our sponsor. They have a great event coming up on December 22nd. Frank Gore will be in the house at Sinbad Sports on December 22nd at 1 p.m. for our VIP autograph signing. This is the second time that Frank Gore will be at Sinbad Sports for a autograph signing, at least in the last 6 months. If you don't know where Sinbad Sports is located, please go check them out at 1976 South University Drive in Davie, Florida. If you have questions or email, please email them at info@sinbadsports.com, or you can contact the store at 954-451-3497. Go check it out. Sinbad Sports at the Tower Shops, again on 1976 South University Drive in Davie, Florida. Our man Randy Savage, the man on the ground, he will be there covering the event for us at DolphinsTalk.com. Say hi to Randy while you're there. Give us a shout out on a video. We'll post that up on YouTube or on Twitter. But go see Frank Gore. Go get an autograph. He is an absolute legend in South Florida from the Miami Hurricanes. Obviously, his high school days. And, of course, the great season he is having for the Miami Dolphins. Again, that is December 22nd at 1 p.m. So enough of the advertising stuff. Let's get into the injury report from Thursday leading up to Friday morning's practice. We had Jake Brendel, who was limited in practice on Wednesday. It was a did not practice on Thursday. So today is going to be telling. Does he go on a DNP and likely not play, which will be awful, which means we have Ted Larson against a very good defense when it comes to scheming and exposing weaknesses on opposing teams. So that's something to keep our eye out for today, is Jake Brendel. Is he going to practice? If he does practice, most likely he'll be a game time decision. If he does not practice, most likely he will be downgraded to doubtful and will not play in this week's game against the Patriots. Danny Amendola was a limited participant for the second straight day. He should practice today. If he's a full participant, we most likely will get Danny Amendola back after a 1 week absence with a knee injury. Omar Kelly tweeted out yesterday that Danny Amendola was making some cuts and he was very frustrated with himself. It seems like he may still have some pain, but it looks like he will likely try to play through that. But again, let's see what happens today at practice. But he was limited again yesterday with that knee injury that he suffered against the Colts. Kenyon Drake has been limited in practice for the first 2 days, but he's also been limited for the past 2 weeks, wearing red jersey, no contact jerseys in practice. Drake most likely will be suiting up on Sunday. I'd be very shocked to see him not, since he's been playing with his shoulder injury for the past 2 weeks. The other limited participant in practice was Travis Swanson. So this is where it gets interesting on the offensive line. He's been limited for two straight days. The likely scenario is the Dolphins will get back Travis Swanson as long as he can get through practice today without any issues. He will likely suit up at center. That's where Jake Brendel talk really comes into play. Jake Brendel would be more suited to play guard than Ted Larson. We've seen the awfulness of Ted Larson all season long. I think it would be ideal if we can see Brendel, but again, Brendel's trending towards that direction of not looking to play in this week's game, which is very frustrating. The rest of the injury report for Thursday, Cornell Armstrong, who's going to be very important with the last guy I'm going to talk about here in just a second. Cornell Armstrong went from limited to full, so he's looking like he will be able to suit up on Sunday. Juwan James, full practice for two straight days. Same with Rashad Jones. Same with Bobby McCain. Devontae Parker has been limited in practice, but he gave it a go last week. I think he's going to be taking the same route as Drake, limited in practice to get him ready for Sunday. Tannehill, of course, was a full practice with a shoulder injury, and Laremy Tunsil with his knee, full practice. So shouldn't be an issue. The big issue going into Sunday's game is Xavien Howard. It is pretty much clear at this point, but we don't have the official word, obviously, until after practice today. But it seems like Howard, who was not available for a majority of the media portion of practice on Thursday, likely will not play on Sunday against the Patriots, which is a huge blow to this team. That is why D. Delaney, who was signed by the Miami Dolphins off waivers from the Jacksonville Jaguars, was brought in, because the most likely scenario is Xavien Howard will not play against the Patriots on Sunday. What does that mean? Well, it could mean a variety of things. We could see the Torrey McTyer experience again, which seems likely. I was there for the Bears game with Torrey McTyer, with Bobby McCain sitting. It was ugly. You know, guys like Taylor Gabriel and Anthony Miller were just eating his lunch all day long. And the Patriots have no slouches at wide receiver. Josh Gordon, of course, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Cordarrelle Patterson. So they have some talent at that wide receiver position. So McTyer is someone that's going to be picked on a lot, because the guy on the opposite side is playing the boundary is most likely going to be Minka Fitzpatrick, who's going to be playing a lot of outside corner, with Bobby McCain likely staying in the middle to be able to try to contain Gronk, who's had a very off season. He's only got a few touchdowns in the first game against Miami. He had 44 yards receiving on, I believe, three catches. So Gronk hasn't been having Gronk years, but the Miami Dolphins with their linebackers cannot cover tight ends, and tight ends have been eating the Dolphins for lunch all, really, for the last 3-4 years. So it's an issue that's going to be ongoing, especially with the likelihood of Xavien Howard. Now, if he does suit up for practice and he goes at a limited basis, there is a real small chance that he might be a game-time decision. But at this stage of the game, it seems like Xavien Howard is going to sit on Sunday against New England Patriots, which just, damn. It's just not something that we all want to see at this point with this injury. Howard, depending on the severity. Now, if you haven't seen the play, the injury occurred when he intercepted Josh Allen pass last week while he was guarding Kelvin Benjamin. I guess it was Kelvin Benjamin, because Benjamin really didn't make any effort to do anything on that play. He got tackled. He got hit in the knee. And when he got up, he was a little bit wobbly. He left the game, went into the blue tent. McTyer played for one snap, and then Howard came out and played the rest of the game. So it didn't look serious at that point, but now it looks like it could be serious, to the extent of it might be just a knee sprain. It doesn't look like it's any kind of tear, because the guy played the entire second half last week after the injury occurred. He finished the game. So I don't believe he played on a tear, because it'd be very difficult to do for a corner to do really anything when it comes to the pivots and everything else when he has a kind of like a really bulky knee. So something to look out for today at practice. We'll have all that information at DolphinsTalk.com. When it presents itself, we'll let you guys know. I'm going to take another quick break, and when I come back, we will wrap up this show and get you ready for the weekend, get you ready for the Dolphins and Patriots, and it's going to be an exciting game, hopefully. We'll see how it goes, but I'll be right back, and we'll wrap up the show.
DolphinsTalk.com is your one website for all things Miami Dolphins. With the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast, in-depth video breakdowns and analysis, as well as daily articles all year round, DolphinsTalk.com is the place to go for all of your Miami Dolphins needs. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk and to visit our website, DolphinsTalk.com, each and every day.
So I just wanted to finish the show with this last piece of news that came out on Thursday. This is the Jim Harbaugh rumor. The Jim Harbaugh rumor has run rampant over the last 24 hours. And at this stage, it's been pretty much discussed that if Jim Harbaugh was to come back to the NFL, if and when that happens, it will only be the Dolphins as his prime landing spot. And that is coming from Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk, that the Dolphins is a prime landing spot for Jim Harbaugh. So remember Jim Harbaugh and the experience in 2011 with Tony Sperano, still the head coach, God rest in peace with him. Steve Ross went over to Stanford, interviewed Harbaugh for the job, essentially offered him the position, and once the rumors came out, the team backpedaled. So they're flirting again with Harbaugh. So when we look at it, would Stephen Ross decide to move on from Adam Gase? Now, he really likes Adam Gase, as Stephen Ross. He really likes Adam Gase. But what if the Dolphins have an epic collapse and lose three of the remaining four games, or lose all four games? I'm not sure anyone can confidently say that Stephen Ross, what his next move would be. Would he retain Adam Gase in the current regime, or would he get desperate and make changes to the current regime? So when you look at it, it is a possibility. But when you see everything that this team has gone through under Adam Gase this season, and obviously last season, the guy still finds ways to win, and the team plays hard for him. They're at 6-6, and with all the injuries in the key spots that they've lost a lot of players, Adam Gase still has these guys playing at a very high level. But, and this is the big but, if Adam Gase does not do the things he's supposed to do to retain his job, which is move on from Matt Burke, move on from a few other of the offensive staff, and bring in some serious high-quality candidates to be your coordinators, that offensive, defensive coordinators, that to me will be the time that he goes, if he doesn't do that. Adam Gase needs to fire his friends and go in a direction. Bring in Mike Martz as your offensive coordinator. You brought him in a couple times this year already as a consultant. Bring in Mike Martz as your offensive coordinator. Bring in Jack Del Rio as your defensive coordinator. Bring in new blood. Bring in people you don't normally work with, because those guys will do their part. You do your part overseeing the entire team and let the coordinators do their job. But if he doesn't do that, Stephen Ross is infatuated with Harbaugh. He was back in 2011. He will continue to be, because he's the coach of Michigan, and Stephen Ross is a huge donor to Michigan. He gives a lot of money to that college. So no decision is imminent. And I don't believe Stephen Ross will make any change until after the 2019 season. He used the word young Shula when he described Adam Gase when he hired him. So if he does go on a coaching search and Jim Harbaugh is out there, will he fire Adam Gase and bring in Harbaugh? Because Harbaugh seems like he could be itching to get out of Michigan and get back into the pros. He would get his own quarterback. He, you know, it's all starting fresh. Everything's starting clean with Harbaugh there. Time will tell. Does the team fold like a, you know, fold like a cheap suit? Or do they play hard, finish the season 8-8, 9-7? It is going to be telling. But the news is there. The news is out there. Harbaugh is attached to the Miami Dolphins once again. We will see how the rest of the season plays out. The first things first, the New England Patriots are on the docket for Sunday. That will wrap up today's show. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Be sure to check out DolphinsTalk.com for all your Miami Dolphins news. It's a one-stop shop for everything you need with the Miami Dolphins, all on that page. Again, that's DolphinsTalk.com. You can follow me on Twitter at TERNISSE13. I'm thinking about changing that because a lot of things, I might want to change my handle on Twitter to something a little bit better, but that's for me to worry about, but right now it's at TERNISSE13. Please give me a follow on Twitter. Love talking Dolphins football with fans. Whether we agree or disagree, I love having a conversation. So feel free to shoot me a tweet. Mike will be back with a show on Saturday, most likely. And Sunday morning, we'll have the countdown to kickoff show. I may have a special guest for that show, but we are going to work on that. And you guys will get that surprise if everything works out. But be sure to check out that show Sunday morning leading us up to kickoff against the New England Patriots from Hard Rock Stadium. It's a 1 p.m. kickoff, and hopefully the Miami Dolphins find a way to win. Let's get through the rest of this Friday. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again real soon. Fins up. Let's go.
Oh, wait. You thought the show was over? It's not. This is Mike, and this week I never made my picks with the Landon and Jeff show. Landon and Jeff have their podcast up on the site right now, and they made their picks for the week, but I forgot to add mine, so I'm going to add them here to the end of today's show, hosted by Tom. Now, last week, Landon and Jeff and myself each went 2-1, so I still hold a one-game lead over the guys at the Landon and Jeff show. But here are my picks for this week, my three picks for week 14. Game number one, and I hate to do it, but this is a contest, and I want to win. Give me the New England Patriots laying 7.5 against the Miami Dolphins. I don't think this game's close. I don't think the Miami Dolphins can put up anywhere near enough points to win. Even if they slow down Tom Brady and the Patriots offense, which I don't think they can do, but even if they have a great day and do that, I just don't see how Miami can score enough points. They had 175 yards of total offense last week against the Bills. I don't see him putting up points. And if Xavien Howard is not playing, which looks like is, you know, he's not going to play, then I will take the Patriots here. I hope I'm wrong as always when it comes to this, but I just don't think I am this week. That's game number one. Game number two. Give me the Kansas City Chiefs minus 6.5 at home against the Ravens. One, the Ravens can't, they're not known for their offense. They're not going to put up a lot of points. And if Kansas City gets their normal, you know, 24 to 34 or somewhere in between there or more, I think they will cover this number easily. Kansas City's offense is a well-oiled machine. They're at home. The Ravens, you know, they're okay. I just don't see them putting up a lot of points. So I have no problem here with the Chiefs laying less than a touchdown. Game number three. I want the Giants. Giants on the road, minus 3.5. Pretty much a one-sentence explanation for this is Washington is starting Mark Sanchez. And that's all you need to know. Mark Sanchez, I don't like him as a starting quarterback. I don't think he's very good. He's the third-string quarterback here for Washington. And the Giants, the second half of this year, you know, they're not great, but they've been playing a little bit better. They've been playing pretty good, and I think they can win here on the road. And I think they will cover the 3.5. So my three picks for this week are New England minus 7.5, Kansas City minus 6.5, and the New York Football Giants -3.5. So thank you for this little bonus segment, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.